Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, standing there behind the counter.
Kia ora, everyone. I'm here today with Roger Hall, protagonist of the New Zealand theater scene for as long as most of us can remember. I looked around for, I started to say legend, I thought about icon, and then I thought if anybody knows Roger Hall's work, they know that probably he would not like people to be using words like legend and icon. He would be skewering that, so I'm using protagonist. Theater goer, an actor for many years, a writer, and for 40 years a playwright. First stage play, Glide Time, was produced in 1976, a smash hit throughout New Zealand. And his next play, Middle Age Spread, I think you're noting what I'm saying here about the skewering wit, was equally successful throughout New Zealand. And these were followed by, I'm going to say, 30-plus, 40-plus plays, more plays. Roger's nodding, Theater of the Mind, both for stage and TV, and still coming. Roger has been awarded a QSO, a CNZM, an honorary doctorate of letters from Victoria University, and the 2015 Prime Minister's Award for Literary Achievement. Welcome, Roger, and thanks for coming in today.
Great pleasure to be here, yes.
So this is Books and Beyond, an Auckland Libraries show, but I want to put out there right away, I'm going to forgive you for the female librarian character in Four Flat Whites in Italy. And congratulate you on the genius title.
Well, let me say about the librarian character. I am an equal opportunity playwright. I've written 100 parts for men and 100 parts for women. And I reckon I've written more parts for women than almost any playwright of either gender. So I want to salute myself for that, including several plays with women only. So no more digs about one character you don't like.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, actually, no. I was not going to dig at the character because I actually recognized, I'm not going to say I recognized myself in the character, but it was funny because in Four Flat Whites in Italy, our listeners need to know if they haven't seen the show, that the librarian comes out at one point and everybody's having their read and relax, that's a librarian error, having their eat, drink, and relax night at their rented villa in Florence. And the librarian puts on some jaunty Italian classical music and comes out and very annoyingly nods her head to the music, ignoring everybody else's wish to just relax and have fun. So, but I did recognize I am a fan of Italian classical music. So, just so definitely move my head to it and keep everybody else from having their party. So for our party today, here with Roger, we're here to talk about Roger's latest initiative, which is the inaugural New Zealand Theatre Month, which just had its opening night, we might say.
Indeed, that was a tribute to Bruce Mason over at Takapuna, where he was brought up, and who wrote the play The End of the Golden Weather, a scene of which is performed every Christmas Day on Takapuna Beach. It was fitting that he does open it because he is in a way the father of us all. When he was writing plays in the 1960s, there was really no theatre as such, and he was writing very good plays, but could never get professional productions because it didn't exist. So he switched to one-man plays, simply so that he could perform them, tour around the country, and make a living. And he did Enter the Golden Weather for well over 1,000 performances.
Well, that's really interesting. I didn't realize the lack of the professional. So how far back does the professional, I'm going to say, what do you call it, the hardware, the structure for New Zealand play production, how far back does that go?
Well, it goes back a long way to the 1800s and so on, because some purpose-built theatres were made, and there's one, of course, now I can't find what I'm looking for. Let me just go on then to Bruce Mason's here. I arrived in this country in 1958, and the only professional group was the New Zealand Players,
okay. And
that toured the country. But that went bankrupt. It was too expensive. Everybody said professional theatre won't survive. It just can't be done. And then about in the early 60s, mid-60s, Downstage Theatre started in Wellington, a little dinner theatre, because, mm-hmm. you know, you get them in to see for a meal and then they have to hang yeah. around for a play after.
It's the culture and recreation.
You know. In fact, I heard one woman say after a meal, oh, gosh, there's a play on as well.
Yeah. Time-honoured way of getting people into culture.
Is nothing wrong with it. And thanks to that, and then soon after that, Mercury Theatre in Auckland, which was a much bigger outfit.
Yeah.
And that opened, and then a whole lot more, Christchurch, even Tauranga and Whanganui, and suddenly professional theatre exploded. And with it, a year or two, about 10, you know, a few years later, New Zealand plays exploded. When you started, heaven knows how many times I've made this joke, but in those days, if it was a New Zealand play, you had to put that on the poster in the same as a government health warning.
Is that right?
No, I'm kidding. But
you said that with such a straight face. For those of you who are not seeing Roger's face, defense.
The point is that people were so wary and they were so self-conscious.
Yeah.
But Glide Time and Middle-Aged Spread, you mentioned, but they helped enormously changing the atmosphere. And the big thing, the audiences suddenly realized they could go along to plays, and then a whole lot of others were around. And even though they were in New Zealand, they really enjoyed it. And there they were, seeing themselves on stage, and that was a novelty.
Yeah. So was it a bit of a fear of going into something that was too highbrow, and they didn't realize that this could actually be a popular entertainment, as, of course, it was since the beginning, even back in Shakespeare's day?
Yes, it's difficult, but we just were embarrassed. If you said the word Whanganui on stage, people howled with laughter. And you think, why? It was just, we weren't used to it. And going back to my own play, Glide Time, which was set in a government office, public service, and everybody was a public service then. Because if you worked for the hospital or the railways or the, apart from all the public service departments, if you're a teacher. And so when they came in and saw the office, they began laughing straight away because, my God, this is a world that we know.
That we know. You tapped into something that was actually a part of their daily lives.
I did, and that was a novelty.
Yeah, and did it proudly and said, and here it is, and come on in and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't a high school production. It was actually like a proper theater-going experience, but it celebrated daily life for the people that could come in and see it. And here we are, how many years later? So New Zealand Theater Month is looking at this, and what other aspects are we celebrating here with New Zealand Theater?
Well, probably most plays done by professional theaters now are New Zealand scripts, which is wonderful. And over the month, runs right throughout September, right throughout the country, there's going to be 100 events and 500 performances.
Wow.
That's a ballpark figure.
That is. For an inaugural month as well.
We intend to go for 5 years. But despite all this, and of course I'm including community theatres and music theatre and all that, plays a huge part in many, many people's lives. And by and large, it's not really recognized. Everybody knows their local theatre, but we have no sense of the national view of it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is the slogan of the month is to celebrate and elevate New Zealand theatre. So in all sorts of ways, libraries are putting on talks and displays and debates and so on. And so, you know, I'm hoping that people will be much more aware of the body of work and how diverse it is. And it's amazing.
Yeah, sometimes people, they are just waiting for the chance that somebody else takes the lid off. You know, it's like New Zealand Book Month, New Zealand Music Month. These were all things that came along. It wasn't that these areas didn't already have fans. It's just that there was no actual stage, if I might use a metaphor for the day, for them to act out on this. And so this is presenting an opportunity to get all the energy and the vibes going together. And like you say, your nutshell thing there was very good, celebrate and elevate.
What you should ask me is, why is a man of my age, you know, 80 next year, is doing this? And the answer is because nobody else got off their backside and did it.
That's a very good question and answer. Thank you for relieving me of the need to ask that. You've done that by yourself and very well, as befits a playwright. So getting back to the Mercury Theatre, which you just mentioned. So I know that at Central Library, there's a display going up, some display cabinets going up with ephemera from the Mercury Theatre. So for those of our audience who don't know the background of the Mercury Theatre, who just know of it as a sort of a fading dowager building in the center of Auckland, the Mercury Theatre was actually an iconic theatre.
Very much.
Established in the 60s, which was sadly forced to close in 1992 from being unable to meet running costs, which goes back to what you were saying, Roger, mm-hmm. about the cost of theatre production in a small country and not a rich country. So the great story, we have a war story about the Mercury Theatre that relates to Auckland Libraries, in that when it was decided that the theatre was going to have to close, there was a liquidator who ruled that everything that anyone wanted to save from the theatre had to be taken out of the theatre within 24 hours. And it was our librarian, Teresa Graham, from our special collections, who, with this less than 24 hours deadline, ran in with a team to fill 500 boxes with the material which is now in our Mercury Theatre archive. So that's administration files, invoices, production accounts, front of house reports, statistics, costume hire agreements, press clippings, photographs, audio recordings, films, videos, scripts. I think I should stop, but there's also production plans and programs coming up and posters. So actually they've left the best for the last, so I guess I'll just read the whole thing. So yeah, that's really exciting.
Well, maybe next year we could do a reenactment.
Of the outside
Mercury and go
yeah,
through.
Yeah, we could invite Teresa to come in and reprise her role.
Yes, so whereas Fortune Theatre, they just closed the doors and sold everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything, even my photo.
Is that right? How much did it go for?
They could have offered it to me. I was a patron, so there was a few of us and the founders. And I thought, well, they could have offered it to me first.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's on some tip.
Oh, no, it's probably in some Etsy. It's probably being sold on Etsy. It possibly has your forged signature on it. Was it a signed photo?
Don't know.
Well, we'll have to look it up. It's Etsy or Trade Me or whatever. I'm sure we'll find it. So the Mercury Theatre is an example of this problem that New Zealand has always had, as we were just saying, with the production costs. And if you have only 4 million inhabitants, how many theater goers do you have, and so on? It's like a lot of the arts. But I think my impression here is that that New Zealand is really hitting its stride again with a new, revitalized, in these last years, coming together with a really exciting theater experience scene going on.
You've got two types of theatre, really. You've got one which has a company, people like Silo and so on, and they produce works. You know, they've found their own niche, really, and very, very good too.
So Auckland Theatre Company.
Auckland Theatre Company is a big theatre building, a wonderful purpose-built theatre, and it just feels great when you go. And they put on about 6 shows a year. So they have their audience, which tends to be an older, more conservative audience, really, which is fair enough what it's for. Mm-hmm. And then you've got places like The Basement, which is a venue which is putting on new work probably twice a week.
Yeah.
And that's just a fraction of what goes on. There's Tapac. And then there's now, you know, we've got Indian Inc., of course, been around. And there's another Indian production company that performs at Tapac. And now there's Asian theatre is just beginning to take off well and truly. In different ways. At the Pump House, there's been 2 or 3 plays. Pump House in Takapuna, they've been putting on plays in Mandarin for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
So it is much more, as I say, diverse than most of us imagine.
Mm-hmm. In particular, the Asian theatre that you were speaking of, can you remind me of the fantastic slogan for one of the plays which is being put on as part of New Zealand Theatre Month?
It's called Orientation, and the slogan is, can you root your way into your roots? Which gives a fair summary. So
I think it's a good point to ponder. I think everybody, no matter what their roots are, could ponder that. There's a number of things. We might use this as an opportunity to just give people an idea, give our listeners an idea of all those things that are happening out there as part of New Zealand Theatre Month, plays that they can go and see. So besides Orientation, there's
2 plays by a well-established author called Stuart Hoare, H-O-A-R. There's a world premiere of his called Rendered, being done by Auckland Theatre Company. And then one of his, an oldie but a goodie, called Bright Star, which is about Beatrice Tinsley, who was a New Zealand woman who was a cosmologist, generally didn't get recognition. And Stuart wrote the play some years ago, and it was all ready to go. And a woman writer-publisher was about to publish a biography of Beatrice Tinsley, and she was going to call it Bright Star. And she demanded that Stuart drop his title because her book was much more important than his play. And he didn't, of course, so, but still, it's an interesting little debate, and you cannot copyright a title. So both the novel and the play are called Bright Star, but it's a good play. Yeah. And that's going on at Kew Theatre.
And that's having the Q Theater, and then there's also things happening at the Basement Theater.
Yes, I mean, you just
all
have
around.
To go
all around.
I mean, Basement does a lot. I can't rattle off the titles, just check on our website, theatremonth.nz, or the Basement website.
Yeah.
It's just as I say, the whole thing in Auckland and throughout the country, it's a very big menu.
Yeah. So, sorry, I'm speaking over you a bit, but I was so excited when you said that. So I think what we are saying is you got a great response when you started going out around the country talking to people about a New Zealand Theatre Month.
Yes. To be honest, and that's been the whole problem of my whole life, some of those were going to happen anyhow.
Yeah.
But... you know, then they're jumping on board and say, oh, yes, we want to be included on the New Zealand Theatre Month. And I'm sure next year people will say, oh, if we're going to do a New Zealand play instead of The Vicars of Dibley, grumpily, or Dad's Army on stage, they may think, oh, well, in September we'll do a New Zealand play. And there's something like 1,200 scripts at Play Market of New Zealand work. So it's not as if there's not a big back catalogue of stuff to look through. And people like Renee's plays and Mervyn Thompson's plays are wonderful, but they've almost been forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's time they were revived.
Yeah. I hope some of
great stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I hope some of that attention comes back to Renee also with the publication of her memoir, which I read and thought was absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm a big Renee fan.
Good.
I did want to say, in terms of Play Market, just because I think there are some people out there listening that don't really know the role of Play Market in the history of New Zealand theatre, and I think it's been a really important role.
Yes.
So just a couple words.
Yes, no, that's hugely important. Again, that era in the sort of late 60s, early 70s, it started up as a script advisory service, which was needed. You know, you could send in your script, you still can send in your script, get it professionally looked at and with comments, and, you know, you go and rewrite. And it's broadened considerably. It's now the agent of most New Zealand playwrights, me included. And they also set up workshops and they organise award schemes. So they are very sort of the background people who do, you know, a huge amount of work without getting much public recognition.
Yeah.
It's a bit like theatre itself. We all know, you know, the actors, but backstage, you know, the stage manager, the lighting, and all these people working like crazy, and they don't get enough acknowledgement. So that's one of the ambitions for next year. I want these people to get more attention.
Yeah, I think everybody's heard the term Play Market. It is a household word, but I don't think people really understand what its role is in moving along a script from what's just been created in someone's mind into actually when you get to go and sit in the theater and see it.
Hmm.
And
well, they say plays are not written, they're rewritten. No play of mine would have had less than 6 or 7 rewrites. It's hard to tell on the computer now, but the old days I would type out A1 and that would tell me that's draft first one, and then second draft was B1 and so on. And it's just amazing how, if any of you out there are interested in writing plays and you write your play and you think, oh, I can't write it again, it's actually a very exciting process. You suddenly realize, heavens, there's a whole lot more here. I had no idea. And look on rewrites as a safety net. You don't have to get it right first time.
Mm-hmm.
Get it written, don't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two things when you first write your script. The one is that you think, oh, this is so terrible, I can't possibly continue. Far worse is you think, this is wonderful.
All right. Actually, the biggest pitfall.
It probably isn't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've got to think, you've got to pat yourself on the head and congratulate yourself, pat yourself on the back, thinking, well, at least I've done this far, and okay, I've got to do it again.
Is this because of the fact that you're writing it actually through characters' voices? You know, even a novel has dialogue, but it also has lots of chances for the author to put in a connecting narrative,
yes.
Whereas you're tied just with the voices of characters. So then as you write them, they take on personalities, and then you have to readjust.
You do. That's right.
If this is going to upset the audience because it's not in character with the person that they've been following on stage.
This is not to say novelists don't have to rewrite as well. Of course they do.
Yeah.
I recognize that. It's writing is a tough business. And at the end of the day, people who, you know, every writer is just sitting there at their desk. At the end of the day, they are exhausted.
Yeah.
Even though their body hasn't been moving much.
Yeah.
There
are actually studies done. It takes calories to be sitting and writing, doing a creative work at a desk.
I'm so slim still at my age?
I just want to let all you listeners know that, yes, we have a beanstalk here in the studio.
I don't think my wife would agree with that, but however.
I actually thought when you said, plays are not written, they're rewritten, the first thing that leapt into my mind was, there is a literary theory about how there's only really 9 plots in literature, and you can take the 9 plots to 3, and then actually it comes down to the end of man versus. So there's man versus nation, man versus this. And I thought, with the glorious history of playwriting, that perhaps there was this fact that the themes are eternal, aren't they? Just like people are people's characters, people's nature. You know, there's all through history, you can see repeated instances of people reacting with the same nature that we're seeing today.
Generally, the plays people enjoy most are where they can identify or sympathize or are interested in the characters. So one of the big things and the hardest things is to develop characters that people are interested in and want to go with them. So that's surprisingly difficult to do. And that, so we want to know what's going to happen to them. So that's fairly good start.
Yeah. People are investing in those characters.
Yes.
Yeah. So in terms of the past, in terms of writing, are most of your plays are set in the present, are set in the time in which we're living? You haven't explored.
I'm not very good at
historical.
Looking. The only one I did, and it was called Prisoners of Mother England, and that was really about my time, really about me coming to New Zealand in 1958. And it's called Prisoners of Mother England or 10 Years Hard, and it was really looking at the group of English immigrants who came to New Zealand and the 10 years in New Zealand, their first 10 years. People loved it, but it's a history play now.
Yeah. Oh, so there's two kinds of history plays. There's there's one set in Roman times and the ones that have just become historical, although they were not.
Well, if I can give you just one example, there was a line in the play and young woman swears at this boy, and he says, "Gosh, to think last week she was a debutante," which we used to have debutante balls.
So we did.
And people said, some of them said, "What's a debutante?" So it shows how things
change. Well, I said cad on this show a while back, and I was asked, "What's a cad?" So that made me feel old.
They thought it was a Cadillac, probably.
So we still got about 5 minutes, and I really did want to get into some to letting people know how can they find out about what's happening around New Zealand this month, and where should they be looking on your website?
We have a terrific website. The guy's been I liken it to I'm the captain on the bridge, and Malcolm Calder is the guy in the engine room doing all the heavy lifting and so on. He's done a wonderful website, and truly it is so well presented, and you can see everything that's on and each day and where it is throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the easiest way. Mm-hmm. And if you go to that, and if you want to go straight to the bottom, and you hit a button, and then you will get our newsletter regularly.
Oh, with the updates for things that are coming in at the last minute,
well,
reminders.
No, the website will be updated all the time. Every day, there's new events listed every day. People are running, as I say, running to the gangplank and running up the gangplank to get on board this ship before it sails.
So I can see there's a good mention of Malcolm. Hats off. And I can see, I know you're the driving force behind this. I remember 2 or 3 months ago when we first started talking that you were going to be doing this. Are there other people that you'd like to mentioned here who've been working with this on you who we should?
Murray Lynch at Play Market, Ewan Coleman in Wellington, who's setting up a big launch on Monday tomorrow, which is in Wellington at Parliament.
Oh, wonderful.
So to get a parliamentary launch for our first year is pretty good.
Is Jacinda going to be there?
I don't think so. I think it's baby time at 6 o'clock in the evening. It'd be nice if she is, but I hope the baby comes first.
Yeah.
And various people throughout Christchurch has been amazing. The amount of events, the theatre's doing 27 events. They're doing all sorts of things, and Dunedin is pretty active too. So, and various other places.
Yeah.
So we have these coordinators in different parts of the country. Next year, I'm sure we'll have a lot more. So I'm very grateful to them.
Yeah, and this is all volunteering the time.
Yes,
there's no budget for this. This is all.
No, it's still costing us a lot, but we'll next year I'll be hitting you up, I'm afraid.
Maybe be looking into it. In fact, when I mentioned Jacinda, I was being very flippant because I know she's a very busy woman and she was more than likely that she didn't have time. But I just used her as an example of, I do feel there's a charge in the air of people getting behind cultural initiatives at the moment, and led by Jacinda, who's a bundle of energy on this front. So
I think we're in for an exciting time.
Yeah. So in terms of the launch, that's happening tomorrow in Wellington, and you'll be there. Are you
Grant
flying
Roberts,
off?
Grant Robertson is launching it for us. So and we've got a whole lot of people. Yes, I'll be there, and there'll be scenes from New Zealand plays performed live.
Oh, how wonderful! So who are some of the actors who are there?
No, that I can't remember. I'm sorry, but. I should, but I can't remember. But they're going to show something like 12 scenes in a short time, which between them give a very good sample of New Zealand work going way, way back and to present time.
It's what they call the cornucopia. People will be able to go in and enjoy.
And people say, wow, I hope. I will, absolutely.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think this is absolutely something that is going to do exactly. I think it's going to keep growing. I think that's a really important thing to remember, that you're in this for the long. I'm going to make a pun here. You're in this for the long haul.
Indeed.
but I can see that it's already taken off with just so many things happening around the country. And I believe that there are also going to be, there's going to be a talk at Auckland. You're going to be talking at Auckland Libraries at Central
Library. I'm going to do a thing called A Life in Theatre and to interview Alison Quigan. I'm doing one in Wellington with Renee, and I are talking about each other's lives in theatre.
Oh, wonderful.
But in Auckland on the Friday the 21st of September, I'm talking to Alison Quigan, who is one of those wonderful people who perhaps is not well acknowledged. She's done everything in theatre that can be, including running Palmerston North Theatre for 18 years. And if that doesn't worth being a dame, I don't know what is.
Well said. Kudos to Alison. So that's good. And is there anything else that we have been thinking that we wanted to say? We've got a couple minutes. We've told people that the website is www.theatremonth.nz.
Yes.
And we've told people things are happening all around the country, so no matter where you're listening to us from. And we've recommended... what have we recommended?
The silence is here because I'm so hopeless with my phone. Hold on.
I'm going to let everyone know. Roger's checking his list of exciting things.
To show our history goes way back, the first theatre was built in Wellington on the 12th of September, which is why we're commemorating the date, in 1843.
Oh, there you go.
Some plays were being written even then. And there's I could talk a lot about the history, but, we have so many people we should honour who've long gone, but without them, we just wouldn't be around.
Well, that's very well said, and that's a great wrap-up line from a great playwright. So thank you, Roger, for coming in today.
Great pleasure. And listen out there, during September, take someone to the theatre, especially if they've never been before.
That's a wonderful idea, and I'm going to follow your advice. Thank you very much again. That's Roger Hall, everyone. We'll be looking forward to seeing you again next week on Books and Beyond. Was brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and Catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond. Every day, every day.